In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
There are five books in the Bible which are known as books of wisdom. And those books are the book of Job, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs. They're not history books. They don't tell a story. They're really sort of books of poetry. And their concern is to do with the heart. It's also how to live within God's community. So to do with the heart, how to live as faithful disciples of God. And they tell us that despite the gap in time that's passed between Old Testament days and now, we can see that the Israelites grappled with the same sort of issues that we do. So they ask tough questions about sort of life and its purpose, issues to do with sin and suffering and why they happen. They experience joy. They have confidence in God's love. They look for God in life's pleasures and in life's rewards, but also in the trials and difficulties of life. Where is God when the going is tough? And sometimes they entertain doubts, and they look to God for help in both physical and spiritual ways. And the wisdom books also show us that God values and responds to our questions and to our prayers. So we can take comfort that there's no experience in our lives which is outside of the concern and the love of God. Nothing can put us outside his care and his concern. So the idea that we're given of seeking wisdom is associated with understanding how God fits into our lives, his purpose for our lives. And from a Christian perspective, the idea of wisdom is often associated with the Holy Spirit. And interestingly too, the idea, the theme of wisdom in Scripture is often given a feminine identity. So in our first reading this morning, young Solomon has inherited the throne of Israel from his father David. And we get a sense from the Bible reading that we heard that he's overwhelmed by the responsibility that he's taken on. He feels he's too young. He feels he lacks experience. And rather than pray for riches and pray for glory and self-importance, he prays instead for an understanding mind. In other words, he prays for wisdom that he might know the difference between good and evil and govern God's people wisely. And the Lord is really delighted that Solomon has prayed for wisdom and that he undertakes his kingly duties in a responsible manner, guided by the wisdom of God. So the question is, what does the wisdom of God look like? If we were to pray for wisdom, what would we hope to see and find? One of the stories that follows on in Solomon's life that I think illustrates something about God's wisdom is the story of the two babies. Do you remember that story? So two women both have a baby at the same time, and they both live in the same room. And one woman rolls onto her baby in the night and sadly kills her baby. So in the morning, she wakes up and she sees her baby is dead, and she swaps her dead baby for the other woman's living baby while the other woman is still asleep. And when the second woman wakes up, she recognizes that her baby is not the dead one that's next to her, but the living baby that the other woman has now got. And the two women take their case to King Solomon for judgment, for the truth. And you remember that King Solomon calls for a sword. And he says to the people with him, he says, cut the baby in half and give the two women half a baby each. The woman who is not the mother agrees. But the woman who is the mother says, no, don't do that. Let the baby live. Give it to her. So the woman, we're told, who was the real mother, the Bible says, has compassion burning in her heart for her son. So do not kill him, but give him to the other woman. And those two responses are enough to show Solomon who the real mother is, and he gives the child back to the woman who bore him. So that story, when I was thinking about that story, shows something about the wisdom of God. It is the compassion of the real mother, a heart full of love for her child. And because of that love that burned in her heart for her child, she was willing to make a sacrifice to give her son to another woman to care for him so that her son might live. So the elements of wisdom that we see there are compassion, love, sacrifice, and life. And those are feminine characteristics, aren't they, when you think of them in the terms of the birth of a child, a mother's love for her child. And if we ask, what is wisdom like? What is God's wisdom like? It's the same for us. Compassion, burning out of love for us. The willingness to make a sacrifice in order that those who are loved might live. I was thinking too about those mothers in Prague that I spoke about last week. How did they feel as they put their babies on those trains to England, knowing they'd never see them again? It's the sacrifice of love in order that those children would live. The wisdom of God. So our friends in Preston Church today are celebrating their patronal festival, and you know it's called Preston St. Mary. So they're celebrating Mary. And in our great east window behind me, you can see an image of Mary at the foot of the cross. Mary stands at the foot of the cross. She's on the left-hand side, if you can see, closest to the cross, with a green headdress on. She stands in that image weeping as her son dies for the salvation of the world. So what was her heart like at that moment? Her heart was full, wasn't it, with compassion burning out of love for her son. Her love has held her there at the foot of the cross when everybody else has fled in terror. And would she not have done anything in her power at all, to change places with him, to lay down her life that her son might live? Yet she cannot. So she does what she can do, and that is to stand and to watch, her last duty to her dying son. And she must make that sacrifice for the good of the whole world, to let go of self and to trust in God. And in so doing, she entrusts herself to the wisdom of God, and somehow in herself, she personifies something about the wisdom of God, doesn't she? Love burning in her heart, sacrifice of letting go in order that the whole world might live. There's a tradition that after the crucifixion, Jesus entrusted his mother to the disciple John, who stands on the other side of Jesus in the sort of the red-colored robe there, and that the two of them moved to Ephesus. If we were to go to Ephesus today, we would be enabled to see Mary's house. There's no very great strong tradition that Mary did go to Ephesus with John, but there's, you know, some suggestion that she did. If we went to Jerusalem, we could also see her tomb. But if Mary and John did go to Ephesus, it's interesting to ponder, were they the recipients of St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus? And what does St. Paul say in that letter, the second reading that we heard this morning? It's a story about how Christians should live, both as individuals and as a community, shaped by the Holy Spirit. In other words, shaped by the wisdom of God. And what he says is, well, one commentator describes wisdom as this: wisdom is where the knowledge of God takes form in actual behavior. Wisdom is where the knowledge of God takes form in actual behavior. So writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul writes, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. Don't be foolish, but seek the will of the Lord." So be like Solomon, in other words, seek the will and the wisdom of God. And the way that the community are encouraged to do that is to sing. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of praise to God. I said earlier in this sermon that the wisdom books of the Old Testament include psalms and Song of Songs, the poetic beauty of wisdom literature in the Bible. And Psalm 14 says this: "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." So by implication, the wise person acknowledges that there is, and that that God loves us in the same way that a mother loves her child. And that knowledge, therefore, will inspire those who seek the wisdom of God to sing our praises in response to that compassion and love. So part of our response is to use our creative talents to praise God and to worship. That's part of what being responsive in wisdom is about. The church hasn't always been very good, I don't think, in encouraging our creative talents. We have a tradition in the Protestant Anglican tradition of being people of the word, people of the head. You haven't often been encouraged to dance in church, have you? You haven't often been encouraged to paint as part of your intercessions or use sculptures or that kind of thing. But really, those are all part of our worship, to recognize God in the beauty of creation, in music, and in all the senses, in to use all of those things in praising God, because they make us more fully human, more fully alive. So that's what St. Paul is saying. Sing songs and psalms in praise. And he goes on to say, do not indulge in drunkenness or debauchery, not because he's a spoil sport, but because those things diminish us. They make us less human rather than more human, less Christ-like rather than more Christ-like. So the wisdom of God is found in praises and singing and being fully alive. Which brings us on to the poetry of St. John's Gospel, rather a challenging reading this morning. Well, I said in the beginning of the sermon that the nature of wisdom is revealed perhaps in the love and the sacrifice of motherhood, the giving of oneself for the sake of the one who is created and nurtured. So what does Jesus say? I am the living bread who came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And we hear that those who hear those words but didn't understand them enter into a dispute with one another. They enter into a dispute with Jesus. And if we read on in the passage, we discover that some of the disciples of Jesus found this language so off-putting that they stopped following Jesus and found it so distasteful, this idea of blood and all that kind of stuff and flesh. But my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Might they not make us think of a pregnant mother feeding her unborn child? The Christian life is about being born again. We talk about being born again into a new life. In baptism, we are made new and we're set free to live a new life for Christ. Christ, who in baptism calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're changed, made new, and set free to live a new life, as Paul describes. But we have to be sustained through that life. It's a lifelong journey of new life. So on that lifelong journey of new life, we need to be fed. And Christ promises to feed us in the way that a mother feeds her child, with my flesh and with my blood. So wisdom teaches and inspires us, leads us towards the Spirit of God to fill our hearts and change us and make us new. When we receive bread at Holy Communion, we sometimes receive it with the words, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, the wisdom of God like a mother, sacrificially giving of self for the sake of the one who is lived, that the one who is loved might live. That's what the image of the cross is all about. And as the Spirit fills us, as the wisdom of God renews us, we're reminded that we too, as individuals and as the church, are called to be people who love, people who are also willing to make a sacrifice of self in order that those who are loved might also find their life in Jesus' name. Amen.